First John chapter 1. I'll read from verse 5. It said, "This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. It said, if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light," that's verse 7, "we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us." He said, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Now he said, next verse, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world." Now, if you might quickly open to Hebrews chapter 5. I'll read a few verses from verse 7. It said, "In the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud cryings and tears to the one able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his piety." Please, if you have another Bible, use the word. If you have King James, he said he was heard because he feared, in that he feared. If you have a King James Bible, that's what it says. Now, he said, "Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation, being designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek." Now, I will not want us to open to this. I just want to refer to Psalm 139 from verse 23. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there is any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." Now, if you read Psalm 19 from verse 12, it said, "Who can discern his errors? Acquit me," was a prayer of hidden faults. Also, verse 13, "Keep back your servant from presumptuous sins." Now, what we have been discussing, which I would like to conclude today, is what we titled Training to Reign. Because I'll be concluding today, I want to just review a few things. I won't take much time in doing the review. Now, you will remember that before we started talking about training to reign, we established some points, which I will make in one or two sentences. And that is the fact that God has destined the body of Christ to reign. We established that the Bible said, if you read the book of Hebrews, I think chapter 2, he said going through the sufferings of the cross, the Bible said he did that so that he might bring many sons to glory. What am I explaining? That is, when God talks about glory, you know, I was listening to T.D. Jakes during MegaFest. That was about, I think it was last night. And he made a point and I smiled, because this is what I have always said to people. He said that glory, he was explaining glory, that glory is not, what was his words now? I don't know, can you remember? What was saying about glory? That glory is not something that you draw. And you've heard me say it before, on the head of God, of Jesus Christ in a photograph. Now, he brought out the point from talking about when Satan came to Jesus and said, "Look at the whole kingdoms of the world that I will give you." He said, "It has been given to me and the glory of it." Now, that's what I'm trying to say. He was explaining the word, the glory, that Satan uses. So, T.D. Jakes brought out the point from there, that it was referring to the wealth of the nations. Do you understand what I'm saying? That glory was not something, you know, you just come to church, "Woo, the glory is present here." Like I said, it's a matter of your opinion, how you feel, you know. There is a church, people used to tell me that the praise there is fantastic. When I went there, to me, I was bored, all right? Now, the praise was good. The music was good, but I didn't see any praise in it. Are you following what I'm saying? That is, sometimes what we call glory may not be what God calls glory. If you read the scriptures well, glory refers to, like T.J. was saying, wealth, something beautiful, is something that you don't have to persuade people that it is there. They can recognize it. They may wish to deny it, you understand my point, but they can recognize that it is there. So when the Bible said that he was bringing many sons to glory, he wasn't talking about people to feel go to church and feel happy that right now we are experiencing the glory of God. And as soon as they depart from there, they return down to their frustrations, they return back to their poverty, they return back to their sicknesses, they return back to their confusion in life. And they said the service was glorious. Yes, possible that the service had its own glory, but the glory definitely is not resting upon the lives of the people that went into that service. Do you get the point I'm making? And if I may just digress, that is the problem of religion. That's why religion, what we have come to call religion in modern day Christianity, all right? Religion is like an organized way of worshiping God in which once you follow a particular pattern, you go to church on Sunday, you go to church on Wednesday, you do things that the organized religion says, you feel good in yourself and feel like you are living a life of glory. No, God has never ordained for life to be like that. God's plan is that what happens in the spiritual must always have a positive impact upon the physical. And if it does not have, then it never occurred over there. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is the way by which you can describe spiritual things is by the way they manifest on the earth. That's why, you see, Christianity was born to be relevant. You understand what I'm saying? Christianity, look, anybody building monasteries should go and break them down. Any monk that lives in the monastery should produce something that is affecting the world outside. Otherwise, he's wasting his time in the monastery. If you go to the Buddhists have a way of secluding their holy men from the rest of the world that he might achieve, unity with the spirits. At the end of the day, he dies inside his cave, having not affected his world. The guy will be judged very harshly because all his talents were buried. You know, that's called the burying of a talent. Are you getting the point I'm making? So I was just bringing that one out so that we understand that when the Bible says glory, when it said it was bringing many sons to glory, it was explaining that there are things on this earth that will be done by the hands of those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm trying to say? So when we're talking about destined to reign, that's what we emphasized. And we said that if indeed we are going to reign like God planned it, then we have to prepare to reign. We talked extensively about what we call destined to reign there, but we now entered into what we call training to reign. Now, and of course, from the expression, it means that if you are going to a place of reigning, you understand, then you must be trained for the place that you are going to. I mean, you wouldn't want to be ill and then a doctor comes to attend to you and they tell you that the guy has never been trained. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Then, of course, you most certainly will not feel comfortable having that kind of person taking care of you. Now, so we said that if God also is going to bring his children to the place of glory, I think I can use the word now because we all understand what I'm talking about. Now, if he's going to bring his children to the place of glory, then it means that he will prepare them for that place of glory. And in fact, God's assignment for each person is for him to be prepared for the place of glory. You understand what I mean? That if you read Isaiah chapter 40, he said that clear the mountains, uplift the valley, make a straight path for the Lord in the wilderness. He said when you do that, automatically the glory of God will be revealed. That is when people are prepared for the coming of God, God always comes. That God does not expect anybody to try to do his will on the earth per se. That is to have God's will done on the earth. No, God's will be done automatically if the people are ready for the will of God to be done. Do you understand the point I'm making? We explain that extensively. So we explain about the kingdom of God, that the kingdom of God must start in a man's life, must start in a person's life before it can be manifested outside. That once the kingdom of God is present inside you, it automatically goes to the top. The Bible says that the Lord is in the heavens, but upon the earth, his kingdom rules over all. And we saw the example of Jesus Christ that said, if I, by the finger of God, cast out demons from amongst you, then what I am demonstrating to you is that the kingdom of God has come down in the midst of you. You understand the point? And I think in the last two sessions, we began to explain something. And before I go on to that, let me just say that the last statement I made again. And that's the fact that grace is that when God's kingdom is in your life, there is an automatic radiation of the influence of that kingdom outside so that you automatically rise to the top. You understand what I'm saying? That is, Daniel never tried by himself to hit the top in Babylon. But as he was stepping into Babylon, the Bible makes it clear to us that he and his brethren proposed in their hearts that they would not defile themselves by all the nonsense going on in this Gentile land. And because of the kingdom of God that was born in them, events took them to the places where they got to. We also saw the example of Joseph, that Joseph never tried to become a ruler in Egypt. All he did was to ensure that his life was constantly pleasing to God, and because of the pleasure that God had in his life, he was uplifted to the throne in Egypt, meaning that the kingdom of God we saw from Mark chapter 4 is like a seed that a man plants in the ground. Now, it's like a mustard seed, if I may use that expression. Though, when it was planted, it was small. Smallest amongst all the seeds, he said, but when it has grown, it will become the largest, if I may just paraphrase, amongst the trees, that many birds of the air will come and have their shade in it. But he explained something in that same context. He said, while that kingdom is being planted, the man just plants it and goes to sleep. So that's Mark chapter 4. So Jesus was speaking. He said, okay, I've read the first one. That was from Mark chapter 4, verse 30. The second one I want is, verse 26. He said, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. Notice that word. And he goes to bed at night and gets up by day. And the seed sprouts and grows. He himself does not know how. He said, the soil produces crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. What I'm explaining is this. The soil produces by itself without consulting the farmer. Are you getting my point? You know, one of the things God is helping me to understand every day in life is that, let me use these words, you know, the way we say it in English, do your best and leave the rest, all right? So this is the way it is. I do my part. I don't try to make God, to help God do his own. Are you getting my point? That is, if God has planned to take you somewhere great in life, he has not said you should go and connect with people who will take you there. It is his responsibility to send the people that will take you there your way. Now get me, God uses people. And you know the interesting thing? I was meditating because of something I have to do over this weekend. And I just smiled when this thing came to my head. That God's gift to mankind is always somebody. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That when God wants to give to somebody, to mankind, he gives somebody. He doesn't give trees. He doesn't give food, really. He doesn't give gold. He doesn't give oil. He put those things in the earth at the beginning. Are you getting me? When he wants to change the lives of people currently, what he does is to give them somebody. Let me just add this to it. You are a gift to your generation. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. In fact, this is how I understood it. The Bible says in John chapter 3, it said, for God so loved the world, he saw they were perishing and did not want them to perish. So what did he do? He gave his begotten son. That is, what he wanted to give them was eternal life. But he said the only way by which they will get eternal life is through his begotten son. Now, anytime God wants to bless humanity, what does he do? He sends somebody. He said, I will send them a savior and a champion, and he will deliver them. That is, I don't just send deliverance. I send a deliverer. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. When it was time to take the children of Israel out of the promise and out of Egypt into the promised land, he looked for Moses and sent Moses. He said, I call a bird of prey from the east and a man of my purpose from a distant country. That is, anytime God has a purpose, he looks for the man. Do you follow what I'm going to say? God's purpose does not just exist by itself. He said he has sent me and his spirit. That is, when God wants to do something, he sends somebody and empowers that person with his spirit. God would not just send his spirit floating in the air. He doesn't do it. God's spirit always indwells somebody. No, this thing really, really cooked inside me over this weekend. You remember what he said? He said, I will put enmity between your seed and her seed. Notice that. That is, the woman will give birth to somebody with which I will crush your head. My desire is to damage your head, Satan, but I can't just do it by desire alone. I must indwell somebody with my spirit. That person will not do it for me. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. Look, listen. This is very critical for children of God to understand. Then you will stop wondering about why life is so unfair to you. You will understand that you have been very unfair to life. Do you get my point? There's one of the things I like. Sometimes when I'm preaching in church, and I'm exhorting people before I start my message. I say, turn to your neighbor and tell him, you owe me. That is, there is something that my children will need that is settled inside you. If you run to Australia to go and get a good job, you have denied my children of something. I hope you are getting my point. This is not just a matter of whether you will make money. Listen. Life is not about what you can get out of it. Life is measured, somebody said, by donation, not by the duration. I can't remember who said it, but I'm quoting somebody. That's not how long you lived that matters on the earth, but what you left in the earth during the period that you lived. Do you follow what I'm going to say? And of course, most importantly, it is not what you enjoyed while you were here. God gives enjoyment to lubricate your doing of his purpose. You understand my point? That is, it makes life easy to do the purpose of God. Listen to this. Pleasure is what God gives you to make doing his will easy. It's never the aim in life. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen to me. For me to preach is joy. It's not struggle. I might be tired sometimes, but I cannot forbear. I don't know how to say it. That is, it must flow out of me. Once you give me a microphone, everybody around is in trouble. They had better not come inside if they have somewhere else to go. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? That I get relief for my soul if I do it. But that relief for my soul and the enjoyment is not the main issue. Do you get my point? The issue is that somebody is hearing God's word. Therefore, it is absolutely and incredibly stupid for me to be looking for where things are good before I do what I'm supposed to do. I look for where I'm supposed to do what I'm supposed to do, and well, I'll try my best to make it good while I do it. No, you know, that thing is very striking. God does not do... Listen, God's gift to mankind is people. You know, many years ago, I was reading Kenneth Hagin, and he was analyzing Ephesians chapter 4, and he said that he ascended on high, and he gave gifts unto men. He gave some as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the edifying of the saints. And he said, ministry gifts are people. So I thought that, what do you mean ministry gifts are people? I thought it was an anointing. No, the man said no. What God gives is people. So he gave Paul as an apostle to the people. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Do you know it was this weekend it clicked in his proper place in my heart that if God wants to edify the saints, he doesn't stir up the spirit of edification inside them suddenly for no reason. He stirs up somebody who will go and spread the spirit of edification by his words. Now, you know the interesting thing? So it is also with Satan. He copies. Oh, Mike Murdock said, if God wants to bless you, he sends somebody into your life. And that when Satan wants to ruin you, he sends somebody into your life. Oh, are you getting what I'm going to say? That's what Ecclesiastes chapter 7 said, I have found more bitter than death a woman whose hearts are chains and whose hands are snares. He said, the one who is pleasing to God will be delivered from her. That is, the person Satan wants to use to ruin your life, you need God to deliver you from the person. Are you getting me? Because if the gift of Satan enters into you, it will succeed. You understand what I'm saying? The idea is that God, oh no, get what I'm saying? Anytime something from the spirit wants to enter the earth, it enters through somebody. Human beings are the connection between the physical and the spiritual. That's why Christians must arise and shine, because their light has come. Are you following what I'm trying to say? That is, if darkness covers the earth and gross darkness the peoples, the light of God will shine upon the servants of God, and they are the ones that will bring illumination to the earth. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But he added a clause, that is while I am in the world. Are you getting what I'm going to say? He said, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. That's when he was explaining that I must walk the walk of him that sent me while it is day. Do you follow me? Which means simple grammatical, or let me say language expression, tells us that he's saying that while I am, that when I stop being in the world, I am no longer the light of the world. So he told disciples, you are the light of the world. Are you getting me? And what does light mean? It means that when I want to bring anything, listen, let me explain what I'm saying here. Light, used in the scriptures, means solution to problems. Let me put it like that. Do you understand my point? That if there is a problem, if there's calamity, when light comes, it's when solution has entered into it. And he said, the only way by which I will do it is you that have placed there. Now, I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. So, well, how did I get here? Again, it must be Kingsley's fault. He's the one I blame for everything when I miss my direction. Now, so I was explaining that. Now, how will somebody get to this place? God has called you. God sent God's gift to Israel and Egypt, actually, was Joseph. Now, he called for famine upon the land and broke the staff of bread, the Bible says. He said, but he sent a man ahead of them. That was God's gift for their deliverance. Now, did God tell the man, you will be great? Yes, he dreamt. And his parents and his brothers interpreted the dream that God is telling you by those dreams that you will be great. And after that, what did he do? Nothing. Now, get what I'm going to say. God's word is activated by faith, not by works. Now, works, how do I say it now? Faith is manifested by works, but not the way we think it. Now, if God says you are going in that direction, it doesn't mean that, let me explain what I'm saying. Let's say I'm going down to Ebano Estate. Now, between here and there, all right, is a wide gully. Now, it's rainy season, it's filled with water. And God said, you are going there. Now, some of us think that it means step out on water and walk on water. No, it doesn't mean that. It means don't go anywhere else. That's all it means. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Don't try anything heroic. If you enter that water, you will sink. Believe me, rapidly, sharply, you are going to the bottom. Then the mercy of God will pull you out and return you back to where you started from. Don't think it will now put you on the other side. No, one of the things, you hear me say it all the time. I like Christians living what I call real lives. You know, stop behaving like moguls. You know what I say? People whose brains are on leave. You know, just live by goose pimples and the tingling of the spirit. You have woken up. Yes, what happened? The spirit woke me up. The spirit didn't wake you up. It was time to wake up. You understand what I'm saying? Why are you eating? The spirit didn't lead you to eat. The stomach reacted to the absence of food. Food not having been deposited in the last 5 hours or 8 hours. The stomach said, man, what's going on here? And you responded to the flesh. There is nothing wrong with that. Oh, my God. If I may just say this in passing, listen to me. God doesn't like working miracles. I keep on telling people. It is not his favorite pastime to be working miracles. Do you get the point I'm making? If you need miracles, he will work it. But don't go and put yourself into a situation where you need a miracle. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Are you getting my point? It is called tempting the Lord thy God. When they told Jesus, jump, he said, I'm not jumping, thank you. There are people who jump from this height, break their legs. Now, if you throw me off, that's a different matter. Then I need a miracle. Do you understand my point? But if I want to go down, I climb down. Are you following the point I'm making? Read the life of Jesus properly. No, you know, I was brought up as a believer to think that he just used to do things as the Spirit led. You know what I mean by the Spirit led? The Spirit led him all the time. All right? But it was not as the Spirit led. You will see, the Bible said that there was a time he took 70 and sent them out two by two to the cities that he was planning to go to. You think he didn't have a plan? He did. He said, all right, Peter, we are going to go here. When we finish the crusade here, I'm built to speak in these synagogues. You know, he had a plan. When I was in school, then I remember some brethren would say, Billy Graham has 2 years itinerary planned ahead. How can such a man still be walking in the spirit? Brethren said it. Not knowing that Billy Graham must have learned it from Jesus Christ. Where we learned our own from, I don't know. The pure responsibility. Now, okay, I was just explaining that. If God says you are moving forward, he's not saying you should try, you understand my point, and do things that will cause you to move forward. What it just means that whatever plans you are making in life, bear it in mind that forward is where we are going. Do you get my point? So if he offer you a job backward, you say, I'm not taking. Do you get what I'm saying? If they tell you, look, listen, let us invest here that it will yield dividends in 100 years. Say, no, in 100 years, I am not going to be here. I will have moved to how? Forward. Now, that is what is called the works of faith. Something what brethren call faith, the works of faith means that if God says you are going to be great, you start networking with great men. Listen, the way by which God will carry you to where he's going to carry you to, you will not know it ahead of time. And so I was using the life of Joseph to explain that, listen, Joseph, God had a plan for Joseph. He was a gift that God gave to Israel and to Egypt. He sent Joseph ahead of them, the Bible says. But how did Joseph get there when we say God sent him ahead of them? Very funny route to get to greatness. His brothers ganged up against him, seized him, and said, "We are going to kill you today." And then one of them used tire, said, no, let's not kill him yet. You know, at the end of the day, they sold him into slavery. Then while he was a slave, the kingdom, that's what I'm coming to, the kingdom was reigning in his heart. That's why we're explaining all these things that we're saying. The kingdom was reigning in his heart, and that brought him to the top in Potiphar's house. Then God, realizing that this is not the place where I'm taking you to, how to get him out of there. He's going to jail was actually, spiritually speaking, a progression to greatness. It was not, look, when you are judging things, you have to try and use the eyes of the spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, Joseph went downwards, physically speaking, but spiritually speaking, he actually took another giant step towards greatness. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why the Bible talks about what he calls the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. Listen, anytime a believer, a child of God, somebody walking in faith gets into suffering, it is always a door to glory. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, this is the way it goes. The prophets prophesied of the sufferings of Christ and the glories that we follow. Sufferings of Christ. Now, you have to understand this. The Bible says that he gave us an example that we should walk in his steps. Are you getting me? So if while doing righteousness, somebody steps into suffering, they know that spiritually speaking, he has taken a step forward. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, it's human beings that judge that he has gone downwards. No, he hasn't. Joseph, when he went into jail, the angel said, "We are closer." God looked and said, "We are closer." He said, "Oh, the man had a very beautiful job. He had a big company going. Money was flowing in his direction." And then one day, things changed. They said, "Do iniquity." And he said, "No." They said, "This is your company. We collapse." He said, "Don't worry, let it." And then either he gets sacked from his job, from any half a million naira every other month, suddenly this guy hardly scrapes together 20,000 naira in a month. And the world will look and say, "You see? We told him." That's what the Bible calls the foolishness of the gospel. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, physically speaking, he has taken a step downwards like Joseph went into prison. But spiritually speaking, God said, "Fine. Now, you were being paid half a million a month. Now, when I am through, you will pay people working for you half a million a month." Are you getting what I'm going to say? That is the way, look, spiritually, the angels look, God look and say, "Yes, the man has now moved forward." I mean, before you get to the next day, you get through a night season. You understand my point? If the day is going to get brighter, it doesn't mean there will never be any dim period. No. I mean, you can wake up at 8 o'clock. Let's say you wake up at 6. It's getting bright. Then suddenly the clouds appear at 9. Just looking. After 1 hour, the breeze that brought them takes them away again. It's getting brighter. You're following what I'm going to say? So for Joseph, now I'm using all of this to bring out a point. The man never tried to get anywhere. The only time he tried, in fact, he never tried really. All he wanted was freedom. "Let me go home." He told the chief butler, Abby. Yes. He says, "You, the cupbearer." He said, "I'm not the one." It was a lie. All he wanted was deliverance that he might go home. But what am I saying all of these things? Remember that when he was in jail, the same kingdom that was in him in his father's house, that was with him in Potiphar's house, was also in him in prison. That rose in him again and took him to the top, first in prison and then to the top in Egypt, and he never came down from there. My explanation is this. Grace does not need you to try. Grace needs you to walk. Paul said, labor to enter into his rest. That anyone that has entered into God's rest has ceased from his own works. He has ceased from his own trying. Are you getting my point in all of this I'm saying? That is, look, no matter what physical things look like, you are not disadvantaged in any form. Are you getting my point? Now, human beings might say that walk of faith is to look for something to do to show that you are really believing God. That's not what it means. What faith means sometimes means you do nothing. Are you getting my point? when God spoke to Abraham and said, you will have a son, what could he do that he was not doing before? Nothing. I hope you are following my point. The only time he agreed with his wife and took a step, he gave birth to what we now call Ishmael. Ishmael is not a concept of failure. That is my point. You know what I'm going to say? Ishmael is not a concept, which means you have made a mistake. If you say, that thing the guy did is Ishmael, we all know what he's saying. That he moved ahead of God. Now, let's be careful what we call works of faith. Most of the time in the scriptures, works of faith means do nothing. Or you do what is just natural. Like I tell people that if they say Jesus is coming today, tomorrow, and I get an authentic gist that tomorrow he's going to come, in the morning I will have my bath as usual. Look for a nice shirt and matching tie and a dark color suit, and I'm off to church. If he meets me on the way, cool. And if he doesn't come, I pick the microphone and preach. If I'm tired, to preach. And after that, I go back home and go and eat the usual lunch. If he comes halfway through the meal, I shall leave the rice that is not finished for those who are left behind. Are you following me? But I will not say, Jesus is coming tomorrow, so we shall fast all night, lest he meets us hungry. You know, that will be your last opportunity to eat any physical food. You better eat it. Are you getting what I'm saying? That the sign of faith doesn't mean that, Jesus is coming. Let's all now go and camp in a place. That's how courts are built. Do you follow what I'm saying? There are people who have built places, temples, that Jesus will return to the earth. So he will come and sit in their own temple. You know, you don't need it. That's what Jesus said. Don't let them tell you, hey, look, he's there. He's there. You know, he's there. Come. He has come to this place. Don't worry yourself. You're supposed to go to bed at night. Go and sleep. If he wakes up, if he comes during the night, he will wake you up and say, I have come. Don't say, unless he catches me sleeping. Does he have a problem with waking people up who are asleep? He's planning to wake up those who are dead. How much more those who are asleep? Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, a work of faith does not mean you try to bring the thing to pass. The work of faith means that if God said he will do this in my life, then I must be found pleasing to God at all times. Are you getting me? So when people say that, look, let's quickly network and do this. You say, God said, when they gather together and say, let us go and lay wait for those who are for the innocent and shed their blood so we can make quick gain. God said, do not join in with them. That is, you use the word of God as your guide. Why? Because you know that God has said he's taking me somewhere. You follow what I'm saying? I mean, when Abraham had that promise from God and he had the opportunity, you know, I've always warned you about opportunity. That opportunity comes but once. It's not true for a man who is blessed. If a woman has the blessing of God upon her, there is nothing like opportunity comes but once. So you won't switch off your phone at night. You never can tell. He might just call at night. It is time to sleep. I must walk the walk of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can receive calls. You quench the phone and go to sleep. That is not true. The opportunity comes but once. Opportunities are homing missiles. I've told you that before. I mean, what is yours is yours. It can't go somewhere else. That is why when Abraham supposedly had an opportunity, all the goods of the kingdom of Sodom and kings like him were given to Abraham because he conquered in war. He said, lest you say you made Abraham rich, take. Now, what am I saying? He knew he was going to be made rich. That is the work of faith, though. The work of faith is not, I heard that my friend's minister, so my friend's father is now the minister. Kingsley, let's quickly go and register a company. That's not the work of faith. The issue is God said, I have sworn by myself that in blessing I will bless you. Meaning that I did not swear by the coming of a minister who is your friend's father. Do you get my point? So you do not need to register a company so that the man can help you. This is how God does it. The king sent for him, the Bible says, and loosed him. Even the rulers of the people. That is, it was the king that sent for Joseph. Joseph never tried to network with the king. Many, the Bible says, are seeking the ruler's favor. But for us, our favor will come from God. Now, that is, if God is going to show us favor, we will not seek the ruler's favor. The ruler will by himself send for us and bring us up. That's dignity. Are you getting what I'm going to say? You don't need to network with anybody. You don't need it. It's unnecessary. The people that God wants to use to help you, they will be the one hounding you, not you harassing them. I've always told people, I don't go where I'm not celebrated. Listen, as a young, as a single man, you single guys, listen. If you visit a woman and she frowns at you, go away, don't come back. It's a fact. I told you I was not going to be at home. Look, nobody had the opportunity to do it to me. No? Look, in fact, my wife, when she remembers, she's very angry that... because should I let this one record? No, should I record this? No, believe me, believe me. There are certain things, statements that don't come from my mouth. I can tell you I love you more than everybody else. That is true. In fact, I think you are the best thing that God deposited on this earth after me. Oh, that is true. I used to have problems with you when I was in school. You see a guy chasing a woman. I said, look, God. In fact, that one is the one that used to irritate me more. It's women that want to die because of woman. I just look like, me. I am not saying that if you ditch me, I won't be hot. But if that is flesh, I will massage the hot quickly. Quickly, so that we can move forward. God spoke to Moses. He said, you have circled this mountain round enough. You should know when God is saying to you. And like I always tell young men, if you are persecuted in this city, Jesus said, go to the next. I mean, you don't die on one person. You read your scripture. Look, the Bible says it's profitable for instructions in righteousness. The scriptures. It's, what did Paul tell Timothy? He said, this word is able to make you wise unto salvation. That is, we deliver you from women treating you anyhow. You get my point? I used to tell people that. What kind of rubbish is all of this? I said, anyone you beg to marry, you will beg to stay with you. The way you get a result is how you will sustain it. Hey, look, the person you beg to marry, you will have to beg him or her to stay with you. The way you get a result is the way you sustain it. Look, ask my wife is a fact. I told her, my assignment is to show you what I really am. And you decide whether you like it or you don't. I won't deceive you. God forbid, I will not deceive you. Look, the work of faith is to be sure of where you are going and know that only God can take you there. Look, if you listen to me preach like the last Monday on Cosmo, what was the title of, in fact, we preached it here before it was aired. We said, God is God. I emphasize that God is God means that only God can do the thing that you need in life for you, nobody. If he wants to use people, fine. God is God. The economy is not God. He said, I am God and none else. The people you know, they are not God. That's what I believe very strongly. The work of faith is that I understand that and I live like that. And all other things will cooperate to take me to the place that God wants me to get to. I am not disadvantaged in any form. I'm not too short. I am not too tall. I'm not too dark. I'm not too fair. I'm not in a bad country. I'm not in a good country. I am just blessed. Do you get what I'm going to say? So if you plant me as I am in Enugu, I am blessed. Enugu will tap from the blessing. If you plant me in Onitsha, I am blessed. Onitsha will tap from the blessing. If you carry me down to Australia, I am blessed. Australia will tap from the blessing. If you put me in the Congo, war has just ceased. Places are blessed because God sent a gift to them. I am a gift. Are you getting what I'm going to say? I am a gift. For God so loved that he gave. And what did he give? His son. What am I? Son of God. I have been given. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. What are you for goodness sake? God has sent you as a gift to your generation. That's what we mean when we say destined to reign. And when we're talking about training to reign, we said you don't have to try. That's my emphasis. You don't have to try. You're trying. Paul said, labor to enter into his rest because anybody that has entered his rest has ceased from his own works. What does it mean to enter into his rest? That is, if God says, don't do this, don't do it. Simple. Let nobody tell you is the quickest way forward. Forward to where? I like what Bishop Oyedepo used to say. What is the use of speed when a man is in the wrong direction?
You are supposed to be going to Berkeley, you face Onitsha. They give you a car that does 1,000 kilometers an hour. You only get farther away from your destination. You are following what I'm saying. It's a labor to enter into his rest, because the one that has entered into his rest has ceased from his works. And that is a fact. I believe it. So it guides the way I move. Nobody will tell me that, we would have given you this job yesterday, and it would have made you a million naira, but we did not find you at home. I will tell you, the reason why he did not find me was because that million naira was not my own. Go and give it to somebody else who wants it, or who owns it. It's a better expression. One of the things that God has helped me to learn recent time, well, over the last many years, is that God loves many people, not me alone. Do you get what I'm going to say? Maybe somebody brings something to me now. The thing is worth 10,000 naira, and they sold it for 4,000. And I just missed it by a minute. And somebody else bought it and got that blessing. I tell myself, so what gave you the impression I'm the only person that God wants to bless? That, look, it's not only you that needs a testimony. You understand my point? God's blessing also abounds for other people. So if you can't come and say, you just managed to miss it. I said, do you know why? Because it was not my own. Remember what I said, that luck is the colloquial expression for the blessing of God. You understand what I'm saying? That when God blesses you, you suddenly are found in the right place at what we call after was the right time. We can't know it ahead of time. You are alive today because you narrowly missed many things. Many things narrowly missed you. If you had stayed there 1 minute longer, you probably have been dead. I remember as a young man, that was 1983 or so. Either 83 or 84. I remember I was in my final year in secondary school. I was coming back from school. I came from, we had an entire sport. So the last day, everybody was excited. As I was coming back home, I saw my sisters, our neighbors, everybody waiting for me. They saw me coming from upstairs. So out of the excitement of seeing them, I came down from the bus and just ran across the road. And the bus coming behind the one I dropped from, just shoot. Get my point? The guy passed in front of me, but I was running so fast I couldn't stop. He just breezed past by like 2 inches in front of me. I narrowly missed him, or he narrowly missed me. Why? Because I was not destined to die. I remember one day in Lagos on Herbert Macaulay. I forgot that the other side of the road had been converted to two-way. So I crossed if one side that was one way, expecting that the other side is just the other opposite direction. So I looked in the appropriate direction, didn't see any cars, started moving. Then the bus coming at full speed just swerved. The conductor looked at me like, what? Is this guy all right? I just smiled to him and waved my hand, apologized. And I told myself, I can't die now. Do you know how many people will suffer if I die? I can't die now. That's the first thing that came out of my mind. I can't die now. That was not a mistake. He didn't narrowly miss it. Spiritually speaking, that miss was 1 million miles away. It wasn't 1 inch. When Ahab was going to die, what happened? A man shot an arrow at random in the direction of the Israelite troops. And the arrow shot at random entered into the narrow joint between the armor, the plates of his armor, and killed him. Why? Because God has said, who will entice him to go to Ramoth Gilead and die in battle? I don't believe in accidents. There is nothing like that. So nobody can tell me I narrowly missed a blessing. My blessings can't narrowly miss me. The ones that missed me were not my own. They belong to somebody else, and they have gone to where they belong. I mean, if they fix my wedding for 8 o'clock, and then the other, maybe I don't appear on time, the groom for the following wedding comes, would they go and join my wife to him? He said, this girl would have been your own. No, you came 1 hour late. Well, have you wedded her to somebody else? Come on, it doesn't happen. You know, that cannot happen. Yeah, you get what I'm trying to say? It cannot happen. Now, let me go on to what I've not gotten to the main thing I want to say today, really. All right, let me just, let me continue. So I was explaining that, therefore, that is the power of grace. Grace means that just be pleasing God, and God will by himself take you to the appropriate place, and you don't have to struggle. All right, so we explained that our assignment in life, therefore, is to be found pleasing to God at all times. Now, what I said is my message for today, which I've been trying to get to, which because I want to leave this topic today, is what I wanted to preach last time, which I ended up not preaching, and today is already going, and I have not preached it, though I tried to read the relevant scripture early.
Now, let me say this. There's something I want to say. I mentioned earlier about the power of the seed. That in Mark chapter 4, Jesus was speaking and he said that the kingdom of God can be likened to the seed that a man sows in the ground, and you know, it's a very small seed, but when it grows up, it becomes mighty. And this is the point I want to make. And that's the fact that anything that's present as a seed, under the appropriate circumstances, it will germinate and become a great thing. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, if it's a good seed, like the kingdom of God, it will become something great in the good side. But if it's a bad seed and it's not uprooted, it will become something negative. Great, but on the negative side. You understand my point? So the heart of man, actually, like Jesus will say, is where the seed is planted. And we're explaining about training to reign. I told us that now that anything that is, if the kingdom of God is inside your heart or birthed inside your life, it automatically rises to the top. And that the thing that will prevent it from rising to the top are what we call, when we read from Isaiah chapter 2, what? Influences from the east. If you were not around, I think you should get the previous tips. Now, then we're explaining that, I think it would be good to just refer to it now, Isaiah chapter 2. God was speaking that in the last days, glory will come upon the house of the Lord. You know, I'm just paraphrasing that in the light of what we have said up till now. We're now saying, what will be the hindrance to this? In verse 5, it said, come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. For you, speaking to the Lord now, have abandoned your people, the house of Jacob. Why? Because they were not walking in the light of the Lord. You understand that? And they didn't because they were filled with influences from the east, and they are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they strike bargains with the children of foreigners. And we explain that what that means is that when people begin to do things the way people around them do it, or in fact, if I may just explain this again, that when the Bible talks about Adam eating of the tree of life or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what it was saying is, if you eat of the tree of life, you have subjected your will to the will of God absolutely. That is, God decides what is right and what is wrong. Are you getting what I'm saying? And that it is not your opinion. But when you say you are walking after, you have eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that is, what you think is right is now right. Are you following what I'm saying? That is, if you go to, well, very common, at least legislation-wise, in maybe United States and a lot of places in Europe, they will tell you that it is all right, it's a matter of choice, okay, to be a homosexual and to take a homosexual partner in marriage. All right, they say it's a matter of choice. And they have shown scientifically, they think, that it's a matter of choice and there's nothing wrong with it. But God said in the scriptures that it is an abomination. Now, abominations are not breaking of laws. Now, when I say breaking of laws now, if somebody does an abomination, it means that whether God gave an express commandment or not, okay, the thing is inherently dangerous to the human race. That's the meaning of the word abomination. God could tell you, you must remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. If you break the Sabbath, it's not an abomination. You understand what I'm saying? That it is a breaking of a covenant that God cut on Mount Sinai with the children of Israel, in which he told them, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Do you understand what I'm saying? That God will tell them that the firstborn out of every womb, a male, is given over to God. It belongs to God. Now, anyone who doesn't give it is a thief and a robber. He has not committed an abomination. Do you follow me? But the one, even though God does not give a commandment against homosexuality, the one that gets involved, the Bible says it is an abomination. That's the meaning of the word abomination. Things that are so dangerous seeds into the human race that will lead to the termination of the race, the whole race, if it is not checked. If I may just enlighten us further, that's why you read the commandments of God sometimes. They appear so cruel. That is, let me explain. God will tell Saul, go to the Amalekites and utterly destroy them. Get what I'm saying? He's talking about destroy. If you meet a 90-year-old man, they kill him. If you meet a 9-year-old day infant, kill him. It's not funny. I mean, today they will sue God into that's the International Court of Justice for human rights abuses and genocide. Sometimes when I'm watching things happening on CNN and people are grumbling, me, I look with spiritual eyes. I said, if this was David, do you know what David would have done that circumstances? And God would have said, okay, boy. Now, God, what God used to do that time, if I might just explain, is that he will send the people to go and destroy
a nation of peoples that have been filled absolutely with abominations, so that they are no longer redeemable. And if I might just say this to you in passing, don't think that everybody born in that land would die. God will have moved the people he wanted to save out of that place before the invaders will arrive. That's how he does it. He will always deliver the people. I mean, look at Ruth. Ruth was a Moabitess. You know what I mean? He was from Moabite, all right? Now, is it Moab? Ruth, from Moab. Yet God had commanded them that they must not marry from there, and descendants of Moab must not enter into the temple. But there was an issue. Ruth forsook her people and thereby shed herself of that abomination that they were to God, and said, your God will be my God, your people will be my people. What am I saying? When it was time to destroy the Amalekites, one or two or three people that God saw something good in them, he would just cause them to travel at that point in time. Are you following what I'm going to say? Now, I'm just saying those things in passing so that we understand that. So, when I'm talking about eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, when we say we will decide what is right and what is wrong, what we are doing is eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And now, if you eat of the tree of life, what you are saying is that whatever God says is correct is what I take as correct, whether I feel like it or not. Again, let's look at that word ambassador again. If you say I'm an ambassador of a nation, it means that when CNN comes and say, what do you think about the bombing in London? I will not tell you my personal opinion. Whether I'm a Muslim extremist at heart or not is not the issue. The issue is that my nation thinks it's a bad thing, so I will tell you it is a bad thing. So if you're an ambassador of Christ, therefore, you don't tell people what you feel. Let me just tell you my opinion. No, you have no opinion. Who gave you opinion? You understand my point? You have no opinion. Your opinion is the one you have been commanded to think. I like one film I watched long ago, The Green Beret. One guy introduced himself and his sergeant. He said, we have been ordered to volunteer to answer your question. I said, that is a real Christian. He said, we have been ordered to volunteer. Say, you go and volunteer to answer their questions. I said, this is a real Christian. That is how the life of a Christian is. You know what I feel like? Is the order that says this thing is bad. If I may just say this again in passing, without digressing too much, if you constantly say in agreement with God that something is bad, after some time, your flesh responds and says this is bad. That's why if you read Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, Paul said you have to learn to approve the things that are excellent. That is, you will look at something and say it is good. Even though your body doesn't feel like it is good, it becomes good after some time, even in your feeling. Charles Finney said, feelings follow thoughts. That is your thinking pattern that your feelings respond to. So the person who is eating of the tree of life has taken the word of God as its standard for his thoughts, and his feelings will eventually unite with that. You'll be surprised that some of the things you think are good, they only feel good to you because they said they are good. That is, everybody said this is good. In reality, you don't know whether it is good or it is not. So, why am I saying all of this? That there is a seed inside the heart of everybody, and that seed, whichever one it is that you have imbibed, will definitely produce fruit at a point in time. Now, get what I'm saying? Now, so, I said that it will definitely produce fruit at a point in time, and the fruit is automatic. Now, what you need to do is to sow the right seeds. And we explain that if the kingdom of God is inside you, that is, you have eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it means that the right result will be brought to be in your life. Remember, I said something earlier, that the only reason why the kingdom, why you will not rise to the top, we're talking about influences from the east, is because you have become filled with the opinions of other people apart from the opinion of God. Now, what I want to share with us today, just for the few minutes that we have left, is where we read. Now, I read it at the beginning just to ensure that I have no choice but to discuss it. But it appears like the trick did not work, all right? That's 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It might be good for you to just open your Bible back there. We read from verse 5.
Let me just read verse 8. It says, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Something here is interesting. Because if you go further down in, I think, chapter 5, verse 18, it said, we know that no one who is born of God sins, but he who was born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ, that is the true God and eternal life. It said, little children, if I might add my own word, therefore, guard yourselves from idols. Now, if you don't understand the scriptures well, you will think this guy was confused while he was writing. He started by saying that if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and we are calling him a liar. Then at the end, he said that we know that whoever is born of God does not sin. Do you get the point I'm making? Now, I won't go into the details of the exegesis. I will just try and bring out a few points. And number one is this. Notice what he said at the beginning. He said, if we say we have no sin, what's really happening is that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves. I am saying to you that if you are walking in the light, there is a sense of continuous practice here throughout the whole book. If we are walking in the light, that is opposite to walking in darkness, which is what he said, if a man is born of God, he does not sin. That it is not his habitual practice to walk in sin. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, he said that if we are walking in the light, the blood of Jesus is constantly cleansing us from all sin. Now, if we say we do not need this cleansing, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. He said, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word, which is light, is not in us. Well, now, we discussed this some time ago, but I'd like to just bring out a few points which is appropriate for this, our teaching. Now, please listen to me very attentively. I'll just try and make sense out of everything. For those of you who did physics, you did physics, eh? Kingsley did not do physics. That's why he studied law. Oh, you did? Okay, all right. You did physics. You did physics. Good. That's why you're studying medicine. All right. Anyway, now get a point here. I was taught in physics that the fastest thing on earth is light. That every object accelerates and gets to and approaches the speed of light. Light exists. The speed of light exists. But that no physical matter, really, can attain the speed of light, but it can constantly get closer to it. Now, I won't explain the details because it's a long theory, thanks to Albert Einstein. All right? The reason is simple. The closer you get to the speed of light, the more energy you need to increase your speed further. And then just before you hit the speed of light, you need enough energy to move the whole of the universe. So you are constantly set sublight. You understand my point? But you will constantly move forward. What am I saying? Jesus is the light. Now, get what I'm saying? He is moving in righteousness at the speed of light. And he is a guiding speed for every child of God. And every distance between the speed of light in Jesus Christ and the speed you are currently traveling on is called sin. Let me explain this. Sin is not a moral issue with God. It's not. It's not. I told you people not to tell lies. Now all of you are telling lies. You have hurt my feelings. That is not God and sin. This is what sin is. I have given you a car. My name is God. I made a car and gave it to you. And I said, here you pour fuel. Here you pour water. That's the radiator. This is the fuel tank. Then you take fuel and pour into your radiator
and take water and pour into your fuel tank. Now, whether I'm angry with you or not, the car will spoil. Do you get my point? The car will catch fire. It has nothing to do with whether I am angry or I am not. Now, if I'm your father, I will be angry that you are wasting the car that I gave to you. But the idea of sin is that you have put water in the wrong place and fuel in the wrong place. Are you getting my point? That is why sin has been described as a falling short of the glory of God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Now, so John was saying, therefore, now let me say this again. It's not a matter of God is angry. It's a matter of fact. It's a scientific fact that sin is bad. You understand what I'm saying? Now, but there's the power of the blood of Jesus. Well, I'll talk about that in a moment. But this is how it works. So John was saying, as you are walking in the light, the more the amount of light you see, the more the amount of change that your life requires is exposed to you. So, if you are walking in the light, every day you will see occasion for improvement. Until the day you die, you will see occasion for improvement. Now, let me say this. I said earlier that every seed that is inside you will germinate and bear fruit. Do you understand me? Under correct circumstances. Now, if you have the seed of evil in you, what it does is to bring out evil fruit later. Let me explain what I'm saying. I read a man of God in one book I have, Heritage of Great Evangelical Teachings. Like, there are many great men that their writings are inside that book. But I don't know which particular one, or which one of them said this. He said David was a man of God. All right? And what I want to tell you now is a fact. He said the degree to which David did not fully yield his heart to God as a young man was a degree that he offended to in the case of Uriah. Do you understand my point? That is, the seed of that iniquity was there. Now, God, listen to me, God could have caused David to live and die without that thing germinating. But there will have been a problem. The next time somebody sins like David, David will have taken vengeance rapidly, not knowing that the same seed inside that guy lies inside here, and therefore I am not permitted to pass judgment. Let me say this to you. There is a reason why Jesus said, those of you without sin, cast the first stone. And I don't know whether you can receive this or not. He was saying, those of you here that have not committed adultery, he wasn't saying if you have not told lie. Amongst these men carrying the stone, tell me the one that have been faithful to his wife alone since he got married. And none of them. So he said, listen, Jesus was not merciful per se like that. The idea is that he told them, you do not have the right to pass judgment. It was a simple fact. If you do not have sin, cast the first stone. That is, you will be the one judging the woman, and everybody else will be with you, just helping you out. Now, I'm explaining something here, that David, inside him, there was a seed that was not right. And God said, if I don't allow this thing to grow, this guy will never know it is there. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, this is what they call walking in the light. When occasion brought the word of God to him, and Nathan began to rebuke him, he instantly began to plead so that God might cleanse him of all secret faults and errors that he could not understand. Now, there's a reason why I'm going through all of this. So John was saying, if you say that you have no sin, you are telling me that you are walking absolutely perfectly and therefore need no cleansing by the blood of Jesus constantly. And he said, you are making him a liar, and the truth is not in you. The fact is that if the truth was in you, it will expose another thing to you. Now, I don't have time to explain this, but that was the problem of Job. Job walked perfectly in the way that he knew. His first three friends tried to explain to him that he made mistakes, said, tell me what I did wrong. Elihu just brought out a point to him. God is your standard, and are you telling me you have reached God's standards? Job said no. He said, so what's the problem? No, a lot of us think that
Job absolutely suffered for righteousness. That is half true. The other half of the truth, which you had to add to it, is that David said, if God were to number iniquity, even Job would not stand. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That if God were to number iniquity, Job wouldn't stand. And so what God just did was to number small iniquity. To wake up to the fact, to wake Job up to the fact that no matter how rightly you have done before your eyes, you need the blood of Jesus that cleanses you constantly from all sin. Now, let's leave Job and come back to John. So John was telling every... Now, what I want to bring out from that is this. Every seed that is inside everybody that is not removed, okay, we definitely germinate bad fruit one day. Unfortunately, seeds are funny in that if you plant one corn, you will reap at least 200. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So a lot of believers will not get to the place of glory, not because God does not desire it, but they don't understand that there is a seed that men often pick as they go around every day that needs a constant cleansing away from their systems. Believe me. So he said, now, there's one scripture, did we read it from Hebrews chapter, did we read that? Yeah, Hebrews chapter 5. So he said, in the days of his flesh, talking about Jesus, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud cryings and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because he feared. Now, if there's a tape we preach when we're talking about the power of the Spirit, we titled it The Fear of Evil. Get that tape, we'll discuss this thing further in it. Now, the point I want to bring out from there is this. That Jesus himself, now remember the wages of sin is death. And he's talking about who could deliver him from death. But how did he overcome it? He said, through offering up of prayers and supplications with loud cries. And John said, if we confess our sins, he is able to forgive and to cleanse. There are two different things. Now, this is what he's saying. Every day in life, if you are going to go forward with God, this is why I'm preaching this whole message. This is how you train to reign. You must constantly get better. Do you follow the point I'm making? That is, God every day will be exposing parts of your life to you. And there's an interesting thing that my pastor in Lagos taught us once, which I can never forget. He called it the principle of networks. Now, I don't have time to build up all the doctrine around it. But he said, if you are closely associated with certain people, and you notice that in their life, a kind of iniquity rises up once in a while, he said, then suspect that you have the seed of the same iniquity in you. It just has not yet manifested. He said, that's why he said, if anyone is overtaken in a fault, those of you who are spiritual, he said, restore such a one. He said, what was the last word? Fearing, lest you yourself be tempted, that you should be afraid that if he can, me safe, I'm not safe. But he's not saying that, it doesn't mean that you give it as an excuse. He said that a man will therefore look at it and pray one single prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful thing in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Let me tell you something. Every day in life, God will allow circumstances to show you evidence of the seed so that the seed can be killed early so that it will not bear fruit later. You've heard stories maybe like Jim Baker, number one televangelist in the U.S., one day came crashing down. You've heard stories like now we talk about David. Do not think that David, that was his first encounter with the fact that that seed was in there. No. What will have happened is that long ago, God will have revealed matter to him that, look at you, something's wrong with you in this area. And he said, I beg, I'm trying, I'm not perfect. And he brushes aside, and the seed is buried. Too bad. The day we wake up, the guy will already be king, established, enthroned. Then he will take a small girl from a poor soldier and kill the soldier in the process. And his children will go for it. His concubines will go for it. Disgrace everywhere. Scatter the whole kingdom because of one seed that he could have operated 30 years ago, which he did not. Listen, the Bible says something clearly. The prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. Now, what was he saying? That is, if Satan will come and be able to get a man, he must find something in him. And God was just saying simply,
every time I expose light to you, I will show you where the kingdom is not reigning over yet in your life. Listen, I've told you, most people who criticize have not been under the circumstances. Kanifao in me has never ruled. That's why his criticism does not impress me. He has never been a local government chairman. He has never been a state legislator. The guy has never been a state governor. He has never been a senator. He has never been a minister. He has his assignment, cursing the king. So let him stay there and be doing it. But he does not impress me. He has not been touched with the feelings of their infirmities. I like the way somebody embarrassed the man the other day. The Senate was doing what is wrong. They paid you 5 million naira to go and represent them. You took the money. And that was under, what was his name? The first Senate president under this. Was it NYRM? Okay. No. Was it either NYRM or Okadigbo? I think it was Okadigbo's Senate presidency. Look, the man does not impress me. Everybody can shout when he has not been there. The Bible said that we have a high priest who has been touched with the feelings, that is, who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, a lot of people who preach righteousness, they are very common on campus. Aluta. Aluta boys are irresponsible, but don't trust them with 5 kobo. Once you see somebody call himself a communist, he's a liar. You understand my point? He's lying. Poverty is worrying him, and the moment you show him wealth, he will forget communism. What am I preaching? My message is that somebody going to a great place in life, God gives him an assignment. Every day I will expose you. That is, if you're honest with yourself, you will find out that, oh boy, I am jealous. One day, a friend of yours will do something that you have not done, and something in you will stay up. Wait in self. Once you say wait in self, God say, just draw curtain and say, create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Because if you don't pray that prayer now, you will pray it by force later. That's how God does his things, though. I'm explaining that these are the thorns that prevent. Listen, Jesus said that this is the way the kingdom of God is. The sower went forth to sow. Am I right? Then amongst a particular kind of sower that received the word, the word got root. But when it sprang up, the seeds of the thorns were there also. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That is, as the word was coming forth, the seed of thorns were already planted. So those ones sprang up afterwards and choked the word. So it bore no fruit. Do you get my point? That many people that God would have taken to great places, God can't. You know, God said they fear embarrassment. You don't know that. He don't look the guy. I say, this one, he will disgrace me. When Satan comes after him, there will be nothing I can do. So leave the guy small. Do you get my point? That is, if anybody, especially a believer, does anything wrong, before you shout, how can? Simple prayer. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there is any such thing inside me. And lead me in the path of righteousness, oh God. That's what John said, that if you pray like that, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and they remove the seed. That's what he calls a cleansing of all unrighteousness. Listen, God has no problem. I was talking to one brother the other day. You know, we were discussing about, you know, there are people. Actually, we're talking about some big guys in Nigeria, somewhere in the south of the south zones. Popular name. And he said, those men are so rich. You know, talking about, you know, maybe somebody's believing God for money. You're believing God for 1 million naira, 2 million. And if you feel like you are large in heart, you are dealing in 50 million naira, 100 million. So those guys count 100 million naira the way you count maybe 100 naira. It's not money to them. That is, each time they deal in cash, they are dealing $50 million, $100 million. So you understand my point? So we said that. I told him that sometimes I would just look like, say, God. Even have 1/4 of this kind of money, you can't even drop it for man. Which one be your own self? What is 1/4? 1%. That's what the brother and I were discussing. He told me that, now wow, that if you see some great plans he has to be a blessing to people, and 3.5 million naira will solve the whole thing, hey, would you all look like God? Which one you know deserve? And I told him, I said, I have also thought like that. And I have realized one thing, that God just looks and says, if I want to drown you with dollars now. I can. And you know, it's not an effort. That is, I will just instruct that guy. I say, call this guy. Give him $10 million and he will not be able to resist. Oh, no. Talk to men who are really, really big. You will know that things like that happen and they can't resist. God could do it. But why has he not done it? Many, many reasons. Okay? One of them is that the road is not smooth. There are many reasons, but one of them, of course, there are issues of time. There's what is called giving me food that is convenient for me. So that I will not become too rich and take the name of the Lord in vain. Now, that is not just like, say, God, you decrease for head. No, that's not what he's saying. No, no. Believe me. You know, there are people who are walking a narrow path on their way to destiny. All right? So that they will be a blessing to their generation. Satan will give them money and go and plant them somewhere else. And they will never release the gifts that they are to their generation. And God doesn't like such waste of, you know, we are the ones that money impresses to him. Money is not anything. Do you get my point? Money is not anything. Money is nothing. If you see the way God spends, you will know that money is nothing. No, let me explain. To put this small earth in place, God will put 100 billion galaxies around it. That's how God spends. To put one small earth in place so that it doesn't shift, God will put 100 billion galaxies around it. Do you know what that means? That means to transport one man from Lagos to Enugu, God sends 1,000 aircrafts to accompany him. That's he spends. Really? He can. No, really, to spend money, don't ever shout on anybody for spending money. All right? Just know that your problem is poverty. You don't have it. That's why you're talking like that. No, it's true. Poor people are very, very annoying people sometimes. You know what I'm saying? I've delivered myself now. Can you believe this man spent 100 million naira to buy a car? When you tell me, I say, he has it. Obviously, he has it. And you know, I have nobody car for 100 million naira. I don't have it. That's the simple reason. And don't pretend like you won't if I give you 100. So just go away. Don't come and lead me into his sin. I beg. I don't want trouble. Anyway, so I told the brother, I said, listen, God can do this and not bat an eyelid. But why? I said, I don't know why he hasn't done it. I said, however, the assignment is get ready for when he wants to do it. Do you get my point? God has no, believe me, God can make you a billionaire tomorrow morning. I don't mean next year, tomorrow morning. He can. The problem he has is heart failure. Some hearts will fail rapidly, Boza. They're giving him the money. You understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So, but what he's saying is that I don't just pour forth blessing. He said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is first able to build you up and then deliver to you your own inheritance. That's how God does it. So this word that has come for today, God said, listen, I could make you a billionaire, but I don't want, as righteous as you are, listen, don't think that me, I can't do like Solomon. Because if I give you half of his wealth, oh boy, you go do 5 times. Oh. Say now 1,000. You go reach 3,000. Oh. Say, I'm a man of God. Say, shut up. What have you seen? But God said, don't worry. What I do is this. I will give you the word of his grace. It will constantly cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So that one day, I will give you the wealth of Solomon. And without experiencing, you will say, there is nothing better than for a man to enjoy life with the wife of his youth. Listen, there is no righteous man on the earth. You understand my point? It's only the word of God that keeps a man in righteousness. There's no man that doesn't have a tendency. I remember this when I was in university, some people said, you have a tendency to be fat. All of them are fat, fatter than me now. You understand my point? If I have lost 4-5 kg this year alone, there's nothing like tendency. You've seen very poor people who don't have tendency to be fat. How can a poor man have a tendency to be fat? How can you have a tendency when you can't eat food? Are you getting my point? Hey, all these tendencies. Look, there's no tendency for unrighteousness, believe me. Anyone who the word of God is not constantly cleansing has a tendency. Do you follow me? That's why Paul said, take heed. He said, he that thinks he stands should take heed lest he falls. What does it mean to take heed? Paul said, if anybody is overtaking a fault, those of you that think you stand, this is a prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. He said, who can discern his errors? Acquit me of hidden faults, and also keep your servant back from presumptuous sins. Do you get my point? And Jesus himself, that was the principle. The quotation we're giving just now was from the life of Jesus, who in the days of his flesh, with loud cries, go and get that message. I preach something similar to this, what we call the fear of evil. Men have to understand that evil destroys. But my emphasis today is this, the seed of evil. That man, I think, is George MacDonald. He said, David had a seed, and I'm using my own words now, of killing, of adultery and murder in him, but he did not know it was there. And I'm daring to say, God revealed to him. I mean, for example, tell you, he that hated his brother is a murderer. No, the little things that God will use to reveal to you, say, oh boy, if I give you power, you will be worse than Tafa Balogun. And he said, not me. He said, yesterday, how much was it? 500 naira. What did you do with the money? It is not time to try. Don't forget the power of grace. He said, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Meaning that when the word comes forth, if a man recognizes and acknowledges his sin, God said, I by myself cleanse him from all unrighteousness. So that time will now come. I will actually give him power. And he will not understand why he's not walking into iniquity like everybody else. That is, the thing is not just in him. I hope you understand what I'm saying. You know, there's something I just want to, let me just close with this. It's a spiritual principle I want to just explain to us. Listen, this is where life is. So. You heard me say this before. Satan pushes people. Do you understand what I'm saying? And God also pushes people. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they stood, we stood the king with the threat of fire right in their faces. It was not them. When Jesus went to the cross, it was not him. Are you getting what I'm saying? Also, when Judas betrayed Jesus Christ, it was not him. Are you getting what I'm saying? What was their own part in it? The seed that they sowed. The seed that was in their heart. When it was time to face the king, a spirit entered into them and stood them on their feet. Go and read Ezekiel chapter 2. He says, such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. And when I saw it, I fell. That's chapter 1, around verse 26, towards the end anyway. He said, then I heard a voice saying to me, son of man, stand to your feet that I might speak to you. He said, look, a man fell. How can you tell a man who fell? Not but they tripped him. He saw something bigger than him and he went under the power. He said, when I heard that voice, the spirit with that voice jumped inside me and set me on my feet. And I began to hear him speak to me. Are you getting my point? It is the power of the spirit that puts somebody up against challenges. That to the, look, you see all these suicide bombers in Iraq? You find in Israel? The one that have gone to London now? I was listening to somebody talk today. He said, you see, the Muslims are passionate about their religion. I said, you are talking out of ignorance. Men are possessed. You are telling me they are passionate. People talk a lot out of ignorance. The Muslims are not passionate. They are possessed with the suicidal spirit. Don't tell me about passion. If you listen, there's a transference of spirit that comes by words. A man's father sits him at home and said, the Jew is bad. Americans are Satan. Britons are their brothers. He keeps telling him, the spirit is jumping on those words into that boy's heart. When I hear Christians talk, I just look and say, you don't know spiritual things. So that's why you're talking like this. No, they make it look as if Christians are not passionate. That's their problem. Listen, don't ever compare the power of grace with the power of Satan. With all of that, who's going to come to an end? Islam. Christianity will keep going strong. Of the increase of his kingdom and of peace, there shall be no end. Men are possessed with spirits. You are telling me they are passionate. Oh, so the madman of the street is passionate about walking naked. The man is passionate about exposing himself. It's not so. The man is mad. He is possessed of his spirit. That's the way life is. Some of the men you call passionate, they are possessed by something greater than them. When Jesus was going to face the cross, he went to the... Go and watch this film again. The Passion of the Christ. The man cried. I mean, the thing was hard. I like what Derek Prince said. Derek Prince said his sweat was not thick like blood. No. Real blood was dropping. Nobody touched him. Blood was dropping. And what was he saying? I can't. That's all he was saying. I can't. This is too much. God, but your will has to be done. And then the Spirit entered into him and set him on his feet. The Bible said angels came and strengthened him. Didn't you read that? When it was time to betray Jesus Christ also. He says Satan entered into Judas. You think armed robbery is easy? It's not. Oh. But that's the power of the fruit. All the man has in his heart is a seed. Do you get my point? You see, Satan fills the heart of those Arabs and Muslims with hatred. And hatred is the closest relative of the mother spirit. And it takes several more spirits, more dangerous than himself. One of them is spirit of anesthesia. He can't feel pain again. That's what I think. So they enter that young man. The guy straps himself with bombs, with the detonator in his hand, and he goes there and blows it. And you think saying a clear eye. If you think it's clear eye, you don't know anything. And I hear Christians say that the Muslim is passionate. Oh God, passion. There is no passion in it. It's called Satan. You understand my point? Satan moved him. Do you understand the point I'm making? Satan moves people. Why am I saying all of this? If you have the right seed inside you, then the right spirit will move you when the time comes. The time, look, who begged Joseph to become ruler? They conferred it upon him. Looking at the cousin last time, I said, wife. Which prayer? Prisoner, they pray for wife. Say, God, what is your will about the woman that we marry? Have you ever seen a man, life imprisonment, praying that kind of prayer? So, God, speak, which woman? Joseph did not have that opportunity. Yet, God gave him the woman. They obviously made his life happy because he lived to be very old. 120 something years. You don't live like that if one woman is harassing you seriously. And gave birth to Ephraim and Manasseh. They didn't ask his counsel. That is, look, Pharaoh is like God. And Joseph is like you and I. That is God we take. Are you getting my point? What does a man, what does a woman need to do to get ready for the throne? Get the kingdom birthed inside your life. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and every other thing in life. Let me say this again. You are not living in a disadvantaged environment in any form. Get my point. Anywhere you are is good land. God does not depend on surrounding circumstances to bless anybody. He commands circumstances to cooperate with his blessing. Do you get my point? When we say Creator God, that is what we mean. That is, I can make water flow in a wilderness. Do you understand what that means? That they will say there is nothing good in this land. I will make those who... God said, I dry up rivers. Where they said good was, I will dry it up and bring it to where they said there was no good. Get my point? All God is saying is that where is the heart that is ready? So Paul said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. That word is able to build you up and to give you your own inheritance amongst them that are sanctified. Let us pray.